Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, I feel the Spirit of God in here. Amen. I feel the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I came tonight with some stuff on my mind, stuff trying to plague my mind about this and that and stuff. And you know when the song started and the hand goes up and you just start opening up, stuff just starts releasing. Amen. Stuff just starts. That's why it's important that we learn how to praise the Lord. Well, you'd be hypocritical if you do that. No, you wouldn't. You'd be doing what the Bible says. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, no matter what you're going through. Amen. We got to learn to open up. Amen. And let them hands go and let them tears flow and say, Lord, I just want to be with you. When you just put everything else out and forget about all the problems and this and that and realize, I just want to be with you. Lord, let your presence, as that song says, fill this place, not this building, this heart. It's this heart that needs to be filled, amen. The heart is troubled at times, and the power of God can ease it, amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody tonight. Glad you came to church. For those of you watching online, we're glad you tuned in to be with us, whoever you are and wherever you are. And we're going to believe God for a good service tonight, amen. Come, it's midweek, I know. Midweek, it's hard for people to get to church in the middle of the week. But I always believe the diehards show up on Wednesday and Sunday night, if they can. But we're glad that you're here and glad that you made it. And so we want to invite everybody online also to help us and giving if you can, to give an offering for the church to help us to do what God's called us to do. We're talking, I hadn't mentioned in a while with the pastor, about going to Africa in October. And so he's trying to work on getting things set up for a crusade there for us. And looks like, as of right now, it's probably going to be a go. So be praying for us. Pray for the money to come in, all the money, more that people will give to get us there to go and give the devil a black eye. Amen. We love Africa. I miss it when we're not there. You know, we were going two times a year for 4 or 5 years. And, of course, it's not so easy to do it now, but still, when you're not there, you miss being there. But we know that God's going to do something great, not just there, but all around the world. Amen. He's going to do something. As Lucas said, you can feel it. Dude, that's why there's such a battle going on in this nation. The demonic forces of hell have been turned loose on this nation, but I believe the power of God is about to be loosed even greater. Amen. I believe the power of God is going to save people's souls, going to draw people to Jesus, fill people with the Holy Spirit, and move one more time all over this world. I believe it's going to happen. I believe that's why the battle is so strong, the fight for this nation. But God always has the last say. Devil, you better hear that. God always has the last word. Amen. He saves the best for last. Amen. He can change anything. Amen. When Jesus turned that water into wine, he's showing I can change anything. All I got to do is look at it. All I got to do is just say one word, and it can happen. Amen. Whatever your problem is tonight, all the Lord's got to do is say one word. He can just look at you and whisper and change something. Amen. Something can change that easy because he is God. Amen. Let's take up the offering and pray as McCullough gets ready to come and lead us in the worship song. Father, we come to you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your spirit, Lord, that we feel your presence and your power. Lord, as the word said, you said so long ago to come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, that's what we need tonight. We need spiritual rest. And Lord, I pray for everybody in this place, those watching, Lord, that are troubled, that are bothered in their soul and their mind and their spirit, God, that you would put them at ease this very moment, that you would touch them, Lord, those that are sick, that you go and touch their bodies, Lord, heal them, God, restore them, and do what only you can do, Lord. We ask you to bless this offering tonight, bless the givers, and move in the remainder of this service in Jesus' name.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the sea. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I believe. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We can't tell what's in store. We may not know a lot of things. We don't have all the answers to the questions in life, but we know in whom we have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry, and He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain, I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. And didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I rock right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. As I kneel in the darkness of the middle of the night, Lord, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But He said, do you remember just where I bought you from? Oh, take a look behind you and see how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? Oh, so why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, he hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? And I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low, said, I move like that before. I'll do this little thing, child, but I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water and I calm your raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? And now I'll drive beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. And didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? See, I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. And didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He gives us peace, peace, such wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, He gives us peace. Such wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless
praise the Lord. I can't get past that other song she was singing. Do you remember where I brought you from? Take a look behind you at how far you've come. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, that's a powerful song. That line said, the little lady said, Lord, 6 days is not that long and my bills are due. And he said, I've done it before and I'll do it again and I'll give you so much more. He won't just meet your needs. Sometimes he'll give you so much more. I've seen the Lord come through many times when I was down to nothing and needing it. And not only would he give me what I need, but he'd fill the cup up to its running over. And give you more. I'm praying for a more than enough tonight for everybody in this place. A more than enough move of God in your life. A more than enough finances. More than enough peace. More than enough victory. Amen. More than enough. Because as that old song Brother Bob Ray sings, Jesus is more than enough. He's more than enough to heal my disease. More than enough to wash sin out of me. He can raise up the dead and give him new life because Jesus is more than enough. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can feel the Spirit of God in this place tonight. I don't know about you, but I know it ain't just me. Somebody else has got to be feeling what I'm feeling in here. Amen. The Lord's in the midst of His people. And whatever your problem is, and through the internet, I want to tell you something. If you would just slip your hands up and surrender and throw everything on Him, you'll find a release in your spirit. You'll find the help of God. You'll find the peace of God. Amen. This is what helps us. We see tonight, we got hope. We're children of God. The world has no hope. They don't know how they're going to make it, but we know how we're going to make it. We're going to hold to that nail-scarred hand. Amen. We're going to trust the Lord. The world is in chaos, but we don't have to be living in chaos. We're living in peace tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody again. We're going back to Romans chapter 5 is where we got to last week. I believe, yeah, we made it into chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse, I'm going to start reading at verse 1 again. I think we got through the first couple of verses, but I want to start there to read. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. She just sang about it. Peace. Peace. Wonderful peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you can adjust me a little bit back there and take this ring out, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just ask you to have your way tonight in our service, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord, in opening your word up to us, that you would touch people tonight, Lord, as we feel your presence, your spirit. Let this word dwell richly in us. Let it be implanted into our very soul, that, Lord, we would have confidence in what we believe. We would have joy. We would have boldness like we need, God, in your word and in what you've done to save us and to change us. And, Lord, I thank you tonight that something good is coming. In the midst of the chaos, something good is coming. And, Lord, we believe it, and we're going to stand on it. And, Lord, I pray again for people tonight watching, those here, that you meet every need every person has. Be more than enough to them tonight, God, and supply everything they need, spiritually, physically, financially, every way possible, Lord, for the church, the people, those watching, Lord, healing in their bodies, sickness, that it would leave in the name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was kind of excited to get to verse 3 last week, but I didn't because we run out of time. But I was excited today reading this morning to get back to this, because we find out that we have something. Well, let me say it like that. God, not only are we saved and do we need to understand justification by faith, that's what we've been studying, justification by faith, and Abraham is the one that is held up in this chapter as the example, as the father of us all, who in against hope, the Bible said, he believed in hope, and that he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he never saw what God promised him in the natural, but he believed it in the spiritual.
He never saw Jesus, but he believed that the Messiah was coming. He believed the promises that God gave him, even though he stumbled, even though he failed, even though him and his wife got in the flesh, they did things wrong, and God corrected all that and started, you know, separated them from the flesh, the Hagar and the Ishmael. You went through all that last week, how the Lord told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have to drive them away. You got to get rid of them, and that's a spiritual lesson of the flesh. You see, the flesh can't dwell with the spirit. And the works salvation can't dwell with faith salvation. Law can't dwell with grace. It's either one or the other. And this is what this is really all about, this justification process, how we today, through the same example Abraham was held up according to the word of God, we are, just as he was, justified by faith in the eyes of God when we accept Jesus Christ, believe he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and he was raised from the dead. And the scripture said he was delivered for our offenses and he was raised again for our justification. And so now when we understand that, when you go into chapter 5, it's really, this chapters weren't there when the Bible was written. We know that. It was all just one big story. You just keep on reading. Subject doesn't change right here when you get to chapter 5. It really doesn't change. It just goes into what we have, backs up what we already have. And Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, the same faith Abraham had, we have peace with God. There's that. Peace. See, you see, before you came to Jesus, you didn't have peace with God. God was not your, I know we live in a world today that says God is everybody's friend. No, he's not. We live in a world today that where people say, everybody says, everybody's a child of God. No, they're not. If you are lost without Jesus Christ, living in sin, the Bible teaches that you are at enmity with God. You're not God's friend. But when you repent and you open your heart up and you let Jesus Christ come in, for the first time in your life, you begin to experience what real peace is. Have I got any witnesses up in here? You experience what real peace is because you didn't have any peace when you were lost. You didn't know how you were going to do this and how you were going to do that, driving yourself crazy, worrying yourself to death over this and over that. But when you get saved, the peace of God, but more importantly, the peace that was not there before because of your sin is now given to us. The peace of God, peace with God. We have peace with God. Everything's fixed up. No animosity between me and the Lord. The old song says, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between us. Everything has been made right because I've accepted His Son, Jesus Christ. And peace with God, that peace comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see that, when we read those terms in the Bible, when he says through our Lord Jesus Christ, it's always speaking not just of Jesus, but what Jesus did through his sacrifice, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we have peace with God. Praise God. I'm not an enemy of God tonight. I'm not under God's wrath. Miss Grace preached a good message Sunday night. The world is experiencing the wrath of God and not like they're going to. But we tonight, I'm not under the wrath of God. I'm under the peace of God. Come on, somebody. God's wrath ain't poured out on me because Jesus already took the judgment, praise God, and there's peace over this life. And yes, wrath will be poured out. God's wrath will be revealed from heaven against all who suppress the truth. But we are His children. We're not living under wrath. We're living in peace. But the world is going to face a wrath. And the person who may say they're a Christian, but thinks they can continue in sin and do things contrary to God's word, you will experience God's wrath. And I'll just tell you how you will experience it. This is how you will experience God's wrath if you're a Christian and somehow you have the idea that you think you can just do whatever and you don't have to repent or whatever. You really shouldn't even have that thinking to begin with. But if you do, I want to tell you how God's wrath will be poured out on you. He will allow the sin nature that was once put to death to begin to rule you again. There's God's wrath. That's punishment enough. Being turned over to an evil, powerful nature that rules you and controls you. And to the Christian who ignores the message of the cross for sanctification, listen, the same thing can happen to us. And this is what we try to guard against. We don't want this to happen in our heart and life. And we don't have to let it. The world, yes, there is a wrath coming. But we're not under wrath. I'm under grace. I'm under peace. There's victory. I'm not scared. I'm not worried about what's coming in the future. I'm not sitting around panicking and nervous and was God going to strike me down? Is God, no, honey, get that mess out of your mind. No, He's not. The Bible tells us our standing in Jesus Christ. We're justified. We're made right with God. We're washed in the blood. We got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't need to let the devil take it. You don't need to let false doctrine take it. Don't let people that are teaching stuff contrary to God's word pull you or lead you off of the pathway and disturb your peace. He said this, by whom also, in verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace. We got access to God. Whatever your problem is tonight, you've got access to God. And you have it through Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace wherein we also stand. Here's how we stand. I'm not crawling, I'm standing. I'm not sitting down weak and defeated. Look, we're standing by the power of God. This doesn't look like somebody that's under judgment or somebody that's going to experiencing, you know, bad things over and over. This tells me that we got the power to stand in the spirit, to stand against evil, to stand victorious over the world, the flesh, and the devil, because we've been made right through Jesus Christ, and we can stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Look at all the things we have in justification. We got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got access by faith, not by works, by faith. And we can stand strong. Look, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Man, we got something. You got more than you know. And it's all in Jesus Christ. It's all in what He did. If the church could get a hold of this, you talk about revival. Talk about getting the church filled back up. If Christians could get a hold of this and learn this and understand, this don't make us better than anybody. It makes us victorious. It makes us strong. It makes us faithful. It makes us confident, not arrogant, confident. I'm confident in what this says. It's what this says, not what I say. I stand on what this says. I am what it says I am. You are what it says you are in Jesus Christ. But you see, those who won't take this and apply it and stand in it, walk in it by faith, many times you have to be careful, because they'll be used to try to pull you down, to drag you down, to take your victory, to take your joy, to take your peace, to try to move you off of the foundation. That's what we have to guard against. And it's so subtle at times, it can come through the most unlikely source. And we have to guard against it. We have something in Jesus Christ. We have more than what we know. Let me tell you something else we have. Look, I want to get to it now. Not only so, but listen, verse 3. We glory in tribulations also. Now we're going to get to, okay, we got all these other things. We got peace with God. We've got access to God by faith. We can stand strong. We can rejoice in the glory of God. We are justified, made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but also while we are experiencing tribulations. Talk to somebody tonight. While we are experiencing problems. Oh, well, I didn't know I was going to have those. Oh. When you get a hold of the truth, when you start applying the message of the cross instead of hearing it, just hearing it ain't going to get it. When you start applying it, you know what's coming? Tribulation. Why? Because God is going to use some of it to be a part of the process to crush you and change you. Well, I thought I'm doing pretty good. Well, you ain't doing as good as you think you are. Tribulation will come. It says tribulations is what it says. That word means to crush, to press, to compress, to squeeze. It speaks of trouble and affliction. Do I got anybody in the house tonight that's been in some trouble? Do I got anybody here tonight that's been compressed, who has been crushed by circumstances, situations, or problems? You're facing trouble in the family, trouble on the job, affliction. The devil is using things to try to attack your mind, to try to attack your finances, to try to trouble your mind. Well, I got some good news for you. You are going to be all right. You're going to make it. God is using whatever it is to squeeze us. You know why he's squeezing? Because he's trying to get a little bit more of you out and a little bit more of Jesus in. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, now you're knowing. This is Bible. This ain't Thomas Clymer. This is the Word. And you have to understand this and expect this, because along with the revelation of the message of the cross comes tribulations. Well, how long am I going to have tribulations? For a season? I don't know. But I can tell you this, they'll come and go the rest of your life till you leave here. What you do with them and how you act, how you react in them, will determine if you make it or not. We glory. Paul said we glory in tribulations. In other words, he understood everything that happened to him that was negative in the natural, God was using it as a positive. God was using it to work something in him. If the apostle had to have this, what about us? Remember his thorn in the flesh? I cried to God 3 times. Lord, I don't know if I can take this much more. This is getting too hard. This is getting kind of painful down here. I'm trying not to complain, Lord. Please don't take me as complaining. But I don't know how much more of this I can take. And the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, all you need is my grace. My grace is sufficient for you. Come on, somebody. My grace My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then he says something like this. Therefore, he said, most gladly I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Come on, somebody. Go on and give God some glory in your infirmities. Not for them, but in them. Just go and say, Lord, I thank you that you're working in me. I thank you that you're, it ain't about him. It ain't about her. It's me, Lord, and I thank you that you're going to see me through. I'm going to make it. Amen. Who likes to be crushed? Nobody, but you see, God sees fit to do it at times, especially if you desire to be used of the Lord. The greater your faith, the greater your test at times. Don't let that cause you to back up. Let it be something to help push you forward. It's a song she was singing, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and look at how far you come. How many times did he see you through? How many times did he walk on your water? How many times did he pay your bills? How many times? Well, look, we got to remind ourselves at times because we forget. Sometimes I wish I don't do it, but I wish sometimes now, because 25 years ago, that I wish now I would have sat down at times and wrote down every single thing. But there's so many, I couldn't remember them all. All the things God has done in the miracles that I've seen him do. The times he come through for me when I didn't know what I was going to do about the bills or the money, when I didn't know. And somehow, some way, he's always come through. What he does is he uses it to compress me, to squeeze me, to say, look, Thomas, you're my son. I love you. You're a man of God. But I need to squeeze you a little bit more, Sister Karen. I know you love me. I know you're my child, but I'm making you more to the image of my son, so I got to squeeze you a little more because I got to get some more flesh out of all of you. Amen. Preacher one time tried to tell me this thing. Paul, God, this ain't how God changes people. You ain't reading the Bible, buddy. I don't know what Bible you're reading because it's plainly right here. Now, but you think about that kind of thinking and you wonder what kind of change is taking place with people like that who don't allow it, who refuse it, who say it's not so. This is something my wife and I come to learn very early in Christianity, that God has a purpose for the things he allows to come into our life. He's doing something. He wants to do something in us. And you have to come to this conclusion really early. Because if you don't, you'll start thinking God's just letting the devil beat up on you. And God's being mean to you. No, he's not. He's working something out for your good. So he has to allow attacks at times. Who likes to be attacked? Who likes to be lied on? Who likes to be stolen from? Who likes to be falsely accused? Who likes to be attacked? Nobody. But you see, God lets that happen at times. Not to kill the attacker, to kill you. To squeeze us. To get some things out of us. To make us more Christ-like. So while it's taking place, we got to be careful that we don't start complaining. Nothing wrong with being concerned, but complaining is what you got to watch. Going around telling everybody about it's what you got to watch. Getting on the phone telling everybody is what you got to watch. Because everybody doesn't understand your attacks. They don't understand the crushing process. They don't understand what God is doing in you. That's why you need to do your best to keep it between you and the Lord. And let him work in you while he's doing what he's doing. And don't allow the tribulation to push you away from him. Allow it to push you to him. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that what tribulation works, our favorite word, patience. But see, the word patience there don't mean what we take it to mean today. The word patience here, it speaks of perseverance. When we think of patience, we think, well, I'm fed up, I'm over it, I'm impatient, I'm done. But the Lord says, the patience I'm trying to work in you has perseverance attached to it. It's teaching you the tribulations that you're going through, the things I'm allowing to take place. I'm doing it to teach you how to persevere, to teach you how to bear up under them, not run away from them. My wife and I, you know, she quoted one of our favorite scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let me read it real quick. This used to be one of our memory verses when we first got saved. It came to my mind, so I'm just going to read it real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. We've heard it many times. It says, there has no temptation. Now, the word temptation can be used as test or trial. There is no temptation or test taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or to be tested above what you are able. So whatever you're being hit with, God said, you're able to handle it. God said, I've allowed it to happen because I'm trying to teach you how to persevere. I'm trying to teach you how to bear up under it. Keep your faith in my son and allow me to work in you. He said, he but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. The way of escape is not running from it. The way of escape is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can run from a problem, but it's coming back sooner or later until you get the victory over it. That thing that keeps happening on your job over and over and over until you learn to let God give you the victory. And quit pointing the finger at everybody else on the job so much. Maybe it's just that God is using them to try to change you. He will give you the ability to be able to bear. I couldn't imagine working on a job with people where everybody's running around talking about everybody else and pointing their finger about what this and doing and that. I don't know that I could stay around that very long. I wouldn't put up with it. I don't want to hear that negative garbage. You got a job to do. Do your job. Be there to do your job and nothing else and serve God and be a witness the best as you can. Just let your light shine. But running from the problem is not the answer. The way of escape is not running away. I just want to go to Florida. You know, my wife always says, Florida. I want to go to the mountains. I want to go here. Let's just leave. That's not the answer to the problems. The answer is to face them head on. Trust Jesus Christ. Let God work perseverance in us. That's what he's doing. He's working patience. That's what the word patience means. And listen, and patience, verse 4 says, it brings what? Experience. What's that? That's the proof of genuineness. God wants to prove to the devil. What did God do with Job? The devil said he serves you because you got a hedge around him. He serves you because you give him money, you give him stuff, he's got family, oxen, sheep, cattle, rich men. He just serves you because you give him stuff. And God said, okay, well, let's just see. And God allows Satan to have some leeway with Job. Said, I'll show you why he serves me. Job was put through one of the hardest tests any man has ever had to face. And yet, he worshiped God in the midst of it all. He didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't talk negatively of God like his three friends did. He didn't slander. He didn't make a false report. He didn't change the word of God. He trusted the Lord. He persevered. God proved Job's genuineness in front of the whole world of his day. That this is my servant. He loves me. And I'm going to put him on display for everybody to see that what he has is real. It's genuine. Let me tell you, the message of the cross is real. And it will work genuineness in your heart and in your life. And people, folks, will see it. But you got to have the experience. You got to go through the things that God uses to prove that this message is real. I don't know why more people don't run to this message. I don't know why people, Christians, that are off in left field, right field, wishy-washy, messed up and down, don't come running to this message when exposed to it. When it can change the whole world. We've experienced it. I've been experiencing it for 25 years. But I'll never forget one of the greater experiences after stumbling around in that wilderness for about a year and a half. Me and my wife still doing things we didn't want to do, but we had no control. We were living in the flesh, living for God, loving God, serving God, but not understanding this, doing things we didn't want to do until we finally got miserable and sick of it and tired of it and started crying out like Paul did, "Oh, wretched man that I am, Lord, I need help. I need you to show me we need help." And God showed us the answer through Brother Swaggart. And it began to change our lives. The truth will make you free. You know it, it'll make you free. It began to revolutionize our whole world. Man, things begin to change. And I think today, why don't people want to run to this? Why don't they want this? What is wrong with people? I mean, why? How are people so messed up that they don't even know the truth when they hear it, or they won't embrace it? And maybe it's because there's so much false doctrine in this world. People's minds have been tainted with wrong ideas, wrong thoughts about the Bible. And so we preach this and it seems strange to them. We preach on sin, we preach on hell, we preach the Bible just as it is, and you're looked at like, "What's wrong with you? Kind of off the wall, man. You're crazy. That's too hard. That's mean. You shouldn't say that," but it's right here in the Bible. And yet Jesus said much of it. The apostles said much of these things. And you think, why don't people run to this? This is where victory is. This is where joy is. You want to be like Pharaoh and stay with the frogs one more night? Or you want God to take them away right now? I want them gone. I want the frogs gone. I want the flesh gone. I want that which irks me gone. And so God has to use things at times to change us, to prove our genuineness. That's what this word experience means. It's proof of genuineness. And listen, in verse 4, he said, "And patience works that experience." And experience, what does it bring? Hope. What is hope? The simple definition of it is this: desiring of something good with the expectation of obtaining it. Do you have a desire? If you're saved, you got to have a desire for good things. Do you have an expectation expectation of obtaining it. This is not about how much faith you have. This is about what your faith is in. The disciples told the Lord Jesus, increase our faith. He said, it ain't what, increasing your faith is not what you need. It's the object of your faith. What your faith is in. How much faith do you have to believe that God is God? How much do you have to believe that Jesus died? How much do I have to have? You just have to believe it. Have it. And when you do, it brings hope. You have an expectation when, you know, when you're like some of the problems and things you're going through and you kind of get down at times and you feel a little bit, you know, weak or down or whatever, and all of a sudden you can feel a rally of the Holy Spirit and stir you up or something, or hear a good gospel song or get in the Word, and all of a sudden your spirit will start getting picked up and you start feeling hope. You start feeling faith and you remind yourself, hold on, wait a minute, God showed up the last time. He's going to do it again. Take that one, devil. You sit around moping, you'll dig a hole. You have to pull yourself out of that. You have to praise God on the job sometimes. You have to sing in the car on the way to work. Throw your hands in the air. Let the Holy Spirit have His way. The Lord wants to be great in our lives, not just in a building. Out there, He wants to move in us. The experience brings hope. And what verse 5 says, and hope makes not ashamed, nothing to be ashamed of. You're having a hard time, nothing to be ashamed of. You're going through tribulations, nothing to be ashamed of. God is doing something in you. God has worked. I believe the true church of the living God in these last days is going through tribulations right now all over this world. But we don't have to be ashamed, no matter what the devil does, what the government does, or what Washington does, or what they don't do. We don't have to be ashamed because we have a hope. And look, here's what else we have. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You see, God is doing something in us. He wants to make His love greater in your life. He wants to make your love for other people greater. Your love for lost souls, your love for those that don't have what you have, that love, He wants it to be shed abroad. The word shed abroad there means to be poured out. Lord, pour out Your love. Pour out Your love. We need more love in the church. We need more love in our heart, and it comes only through Jesus Christ. He's the epitome of love, the perfect display of the love of God stretched out on a cross, giving Himself for a filthy, vile, wicked world. But we have a problem accepting that world that He died for. When that love is supposed to be shed abroad in our hearts. And how does it come? By the Holy Spirit. You see, you can't leave the Holy Spirit out. Well, we started feeling when those songs began. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, if anything is going to get done in this heart, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. Or it's not going to be done. The psychiatrist ain't going to be able to do it. The psychologist ain't going to be able to fix you. You got problems. Getting on the phone and calling everybody in town, everybody in church, that ain't going to help. Look, what you need is the love of God. You need the Holy Spirit comforter, touching you, comforting you, helping you. He's the one who does everything in our heart that needs to be done. Nothing gets done in here unless it's the Holy Spirit. And why is He called the Holy Spirit? Because He's holy. And that's what He's trying to do with us. Make you a little more holier. A little more cleaner. A little more like Jesus Christ, your Savior. He said it's done by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. We have something. He's been given unto us. Now, we in this church, we believe that every person who's born again, at the moment they accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in, regenerates them, saves them, and changes them, justifies them, makes them right with God. But we also believe in the second work of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 9, Acts 10, Acts 19, all throughout the New Testament there, you'll see where those new believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, and that was given to them, listen, for power. And we need the power for our service. But nevertheless, even those at salvation who truly have been saved, they have the Holy Spirit. Look, you have the Holy Spirit to enable you, to help you to live this life the way God intended for you, even if you hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. This tells us. So if you're not living it, you got to find out why. Is the Holy Spirit helping you? Because if he's not, then there's a reason why he's not. It's because your faith is not in what Jesus did. Your faith is in something else. And then God is not going to help you overcome all your problems. God is not going to give you victory over that sin because you're ignoring his word, ignoring his way, and you're trying to do things your own way, and the Holy Spirit's going to be stifled in you. Oh, you're saved, but you're barely making it. Oh, you're saved, but you're miserable. You're saved, but you're screaming all the time. You're saved, but you're wishy-washy. You're saved, but you're unstable. And God didn't intend this for his children. He's working in us. He's doing things. And again, everybody don't see what God is doing in you, so don't look to men for confirmation. Look to the Lord. The Lord will stretch us at times. Oh, he's been stretching me lately with some stuff. I tell you, I feel like a rubber band. Shot here, shot here. I'm like, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, I've been through some stuff through the years and been tested, and I know I'm being tested here, and I got to be. But Lord, I don't know, what am I going to do? And then he starts reminding me, you got to go back. Boy, remember. That's what she was saying. Do you remember where I brought you from? Take a look behind you at how far you come. Every time you ask me, didn't I answer you? Why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Showed up when the bills were due, when the pain was racking your body. I sent healing down to you. Man, he's done it all for us. He'll do it again. But the Holy Spirit wants to comfort us, to get you through the things that you're going through. This is the whole purpose of the message of the cross. So that we can be justified. We'll get into sanctification in chapter 6. We can learn about justification. We can learn how to stand and have access to God, how to rejoice, understand that when we're going through things, God has a purpose for these things, and it's not to kill us, it's to promote us. Those three little Hebrew boys, when they were thrown into that burning fiery furnace, they said, "We will not bow to the devil. We will not bow, King." They said, "Our God is able to deliver us. Our God, he will, and he's able." But they said this too: "Even if he don't, we will not bow down and serve other gods." You know the story. They were thrown into the fire. They went in, handcuffed, chains behind their back. But somehow, some way, all of a sudden, they were loosed in the midst of a fire, walking around, and the king said, "I don't understand what's going on around here. I thought we put three men in there. I see four men walking around, and they're walking around in there, and they're praising God. And the fourth one looks like the image of the Son of God." You got it right, buddy, because that's who's in the fire with them. And to praise God, when they came out of that, the Bible said that the king, he changed his commandment. He changed everything. And he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Spiritual lesson there. You handle your fire right. You handle your trial right. Promotion will come for you. It won't come from man. It'll come from God. The Lord is over your boss. The Lord is over your landlord. The Lord is over your job. The Lord is over the government. God is over everybody, and he ain't sitting up in heaven nervous trying to figure out what he's going to do. He already knows what he's going to do. Now, he wants us to trust him. Stand to your feet tonight as we get ready to close. Well, I tell you, if you can get Michaela back in here again just for a second, I want her to come back and sing that little chorus again. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. I want you, Wood, if you stand to your feet, just we're going to take a few minutes to praise the Lord as we get ready to leave here tonight. I want you to just begin to slip up your hands if you can. Just begin to pray. Begin to praise God and thank him for his word tonight. Thank him for what he's doing. Thank him that no matter what is going on in your life, you're going to make it. He's going to give you the help. He's going to give you the peace of God that passes all understanding. The Bible says it will guard your heart. It will keep you. It will protect you. It will watch over you. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. As she begins to sing the song just for a couple of minutes, I want you to begin to praise him, church. I want you to leave out of this place victorious tonight. I want you to leave out of here tonight saying, Lord, I trust you. Wonderful peace. Watching through the internet, lift your hands up. You got problems, slip your hands up. And say, Lord, I trust you tonight. I trust you. I believe you. I know you're going to make a way for me. Come on, let him have his way, church. Sweep over. Yes, Lord, sweep over. Praise God. Glory to God. Hora bashanda labuha. In the name of Jesus. Come on, peace. Lord, let your peace fall in this place tonight. Listen, if you need a touch tonight, I'll go a little further. This altar's open. If you want to come, if you want to take a minute to pray, if it's something you want to bring to the Lord, come. Feel free to. Let that peace wash over you. Let that peace wash over you tonight. Sweep over. You got burdens you need to lay down tonight. Lay them down. Bring them to Jesus. Give them to the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah.
Such wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. It's wonderful peace coming down.
Come on, the peace of God is all you need. Let it come down. You're troubled in your mind tonight. This is what you need. Peace. Worried about your future. Peace. God has it all under control. Make a way
for me.
You believe it tonight.
I know the Lord.
Say thank you, Lord.
Will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right. I know the Lord will make
a way. He's gonna make a way,
church. I know the Lord will make a way.
Thank you, Lord.
Me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. Jesus died on Calvary. Saved my soul and set me free. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me.
Lord, thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your spirit, for your power. And Lord, I pray that everybody leave this place encouraged tonight, knowing that we have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, and who will provide for us. Lord, we ask you to come into this place Sunday morning. We ask you to move on people. We ask you to draw people, to bring people to prayer meeting, God, that you would move in it, that you would draw people to prayer, Lord, to pray with us, God, to trust you, to believe you for great things to come. Go with us tonight as we leave. Watch over us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.